Shed Some Light, episode 253, coming to you on a Thursday. Michael and Jack are back. Hope everyone had a fantastic new year. Welcome to the first episode of 2024.
This is our year. This is our year.
This is
doubt about it, dude. They had us in the first half, not gonna lie.
Let's probably on the shorter episode side today, but that's all right. It's still going to be an action-packed show. Starting right off the bat, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Nathan Grella.
Shout out, Nady G.
People might be asking, who's Nathan Grella? Well, he's just some guy on Twitter that made a one shining moment for college football bowl games.
Oh, fuck yes,
elite.
Yes, that's what we need. It's tough because like One Shining Moment is such an iconic song.
Yeah.
But like we need
that's obviously about basketball.
Yeah.
The ball is tipped.
It could just be tipped an interception. Tipped
and
a pass.
There you are.
Run for your life.
Yeah, you're a shooting star.
Your draft stock's rising.
Other than that, it's pretty
right?
much
right. Okay, we can make it. We can spin zone that.
So, go check it out. Grella is the spelling of the last name. I don't know what his Twitter handle is, but great video. Notre Dame makes an appearance, so big time.
Easy. What? Keep talking Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Absolute mushroom stamp of the Oregon State Beavers.
A mollywhomping.
That was brutal.
A thoroughbred beatdown.
Yeah, that was one of like the most and also least fun I've had watching a bowl game.
They gave them the business.
They did get Notre Dame gave Oregon State the business. It was like one of those where like it was awesome in the sense of like I was worried for about the first two possessions, and then I was like, oh, we're just a lot better than them.
Depth wise, like that. I would have been very intrigued to see that game with both teams full starters. I don't think that it would change the outcome that much or make the game that much closer. But
I think it would make it closer, but like
not by much.
Yeah, I think instead of winning by like 32, we win by like 21.
Yeah, yeah.
So, was there a person, position group, etc., that surprised you the most? You could take it in a good or a bad way, but there wasn't a lot of bad. So
there wasn't a lot of bad. Steve Angeli definitely surprised me in a good way.
Yeah, he's definitely transferring.
And the combination of Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price at running back. I mean, the entire running back room is elite.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a person that they would put out on the field, and I'm like, dang it, like, why is that person in?
Yeah. Well, I said it to you during the game. Like, I feel like we all forgot how good Jadarian Price is.
Yeah.
Like, when he was a freshman, we were all like, dude, he is, like, the next Audric Estime. He's going to be insane. And then he tore his ACL, and the hype kind of was like, eh, you know. We'll see how it goes. And then obviously you're behind Audric, and Jeremiah Love got a lot of the attention for being that, you know, like explosive freshman. He's got a lot of explosive speed, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah.
And so Jadarian Price kind of like fell by the wayside. And then I thought today was to finally like, oh yeah, dude, he was like, he is that good.
Right. Right. And then to think that you have this room now with Aeneas Williams coming in.
And Kedron Young.
Yeah.
Like, people forget that Kedron Young's in the All-American game, too. Like,
it's insane. The running back room is just stacked.
Yeah. But to give at least some credit where credit is due, I was most surprised, in my opinion, by the offensive line.
Yeah, that's another good call.
I was very, very pleasantly surprised by them in the sense of I thought there was going to be And there were a couple times where you were like, ah, you could see it was like a breakdown in coverage. Like, they clearly didn't see this guy. They clearly didn't do that. But for the most part, and we talked about it too in the pregame show that we had, where like the Oregon State defense didn't have a lot of opt-outs.
They were like pretty much at full strength.
Yeah, and that offensive line bullied them.
Yeah.
And, like, for that, that gives me, that was the one thing that I took away from it where I was like, okay, I have a lot of confidence going into next year.
Definitely.
Where, like, you lose guys like Blake Fisher and Joe Alt and Zeke Correll to the transfer portal, and, like, you kind of sit there and you're like, ooh, how's this O-line going to fucking do next year?
Right.
Like, I don't really know about, you know, some of these kids, and then they go out and do that in the bowl game. I was like, okay, all right, we're good. We're fine.
With the addition of the players coming in the transfer portal and the incoming freshman class, combined with what we saw in the bowl game and the 2024 schedule, I'm sitting high on Notre Dame.
Yeah, me too. But I would also be remiss if we didn't talk about him. Jordan Faison.
Yeah.
Is nuts. And this is something where, like, I do and I don't really understand how he's that good. Right? Because, like we looked him up. He was, like, unranked, and, like, some people had him as, like, a two-star football player coming out of high school.
Right.
How are you, like, that bad in high school, and then how are you that good in college? Like, I don't understand that at all.
Had I told you at the beginning of August that the offensive MVP would be a walk-on lacrosse player, what do you think Notre Dame's record would have been? Like, with
7-5?
Maybe.
Yeah, if we're going to bowl game win, you got to be over 6-6, so I'm right above it, 7-5.
Like, Jordan Faison just balled out.
And don't get me wrong, Jordan Faison, very well-deserving. Give it to my boy, PB&J. Dude, slinging it, dude.
So I've heard some post-game quotes. As of within, like, 24 to 48 hours after the game, it didn't sound like there was any intention of Angeli leaving.
So I do genuinely think that, like, Steve is a, like, Notre Dame diehard, and I think that is what is bringing him back. I do think that teams are going to reach out to him for sure.
Yeah.
And be like, we'll give you $500K to come play for us. You know?
Yeah.
I think that'll be tough where it's like, you know, I do think he wants, like, the education aspect of it, but I also, like, it's hard to turn down that amount of money.
Right.
To, like, because, like, he knows that, like, he's in the he's in the spot where it's just like, hey, like,
he's in no man's land.
Yeah. Like, there's two really good kids coming up right behind you. There's one really good kid in front of you, maybe even two, depending on where Kenny Minchie is. Not much he can do.
Right, right.
But yeah, overall, like, the offense in general looked electric. Play calling.
Phenomenal.
Fuck yeah, dude. It took Geno one time to call a play. And 50 times better than anything I watched the rest of the season.
The pass concepts were great. The runs were where they needed to be. I felt really good about that game.
There were very few, if any, times that I was like, oh, he's out thinking himself right now. Like, he's right, overthinking this by a mile. I feel very good about Notre Dame's team going in the next year.
Agreed.
Great way to end the season. Also, a little tidbit, talking about Jordan Faison. Notre Dame lacrosse, number one in the preseason polls.
Yeah, I did see that.
How you doing?
I did see that. Speaking of number one in the polls, unfortunately, we do have a Michigan-Washington national championship in football. Go Huskies.
Dude, Michael Penix did it at IU, doing it again in Washington.
As much as I love Notre Dame, I have that exact same hatred of Michigan. And it was pretty tough having to fully root for Alabama, just because it's Alabama. But, like, there was never a single thought that crossed my mind of, should I actually be rooting for Michigan in this game?
Oh, yeah. I'll never root for Michigan, ever.
I don't care who they're playing.
Yeah. I even talked about it. I said, gun to my head, USC versus Michigan. Who am I rooting for? USC.
100%.
Gun to my head. But Michael Penix, he is that dude.
Yeah, I am pulling so hard for Washington. I hate that Michigan's already like a 4.5, 5-point favorite.
Love it. Love that. Give me the dogs in more than one way, baby. Dogs.
They were only 2-point favorites against Alabama, and they were able to take care of business. Dogs. Alabama's offensive line got destroyed.
Did you see their centers in the transfer portal?
No surprise there.
No shit, dude.
And Tommy Reese's play calling was great, and then it just faded out so fast.
Yeah. This is one, hindsight 2020, after seeing the games, I wish the time slots would have been flipped. And I'll tell you why. The Michigan-Alabama game was only a good game because it went to overtime.
Yeah. Well, they needed to play that game so that they could get the third quarter sunset in Pasadena.
Yeah, 100%. I get that. But by a fucking mile, the Washington-Texas game was 50 times more entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it was perfect. It was the exact, like, Michigan-Alabama was like
a slugfest.
Well, what you could call good football, but it wasn't exciting football.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, Washington-Texas was, like, exciting football. Like, it had it all. It was, like, the fucking turnovers, throwing dimes, sick plays, insane catches, the fucking getting it down all the way to the end. You literally have 1 second to score a touchdown to win the game. The DB makes an insane play. Like, everything about that game was phenomenal.
It was the perfect culmination of Pac-12 after dark.
Yes. But this is why Washington might win it. I'm not going to call them the team of destiny, but there'd be nothing funnier than a Pac-12 team
winning the national title
the last year that the Pac-12 ever existed.
Right.
So funny. Like, such a perfect culmination of, like, everything needed to happen one way. This is going to happen like that. Pac-12 hasn't won in ages. They win it the last time they're ever going to have the Pac-12.
This would also be the first time, regardless. I mean, technically, Jumpman is a part of Nike, but this would be the first time that the national champion will not be a Nike school.
Yeah.
How about that?
Washington.
Washington's Adidas and Michigan's Jumpman.
Let's go Adidas. Shout out to Michael Penix.
Go Washington, please.
Sling in that bad boy.
Do not let Michigan win.
It's going to come down to, like, how good is Washington's offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
And can Washington stop the run?
Yeah.
If they can do both of those things, then I think Washington's in a very good spot.
J.J. McCarthy is just a massive douche.
Yeah. Did you see the spin zone that he said today? I guess it's a spin zone. He basically is now spin zone sign stealing.
Oh,
into Ohio State did it too. It's actually all legal, and that's why we had to do it.
Well, did you see that Connor Stallions was at the game?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
I mean, there's no way to enforce that. There's no way you're doing fucking facial recognition at the Rose Bowl. I mean, I don't really give a fuck about that. But
That's just pathetic. The only other thing college football wise is that I'd like to start a petition to have more bowl games.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm so down.
Like,
Give me March Madness.
I want it March Madness style, where for like 3 or 4 days, just noon to midnight, there's college football on.
I want to have the scoreboard up at the top with like nine
different
games.
Exactly,
going
on. Exactly. Exactly. We should. I think the standard should be lowered to like 4 wins.
I think you should be able to pay your way into a bowl game. Like, if you just want to get a little bit more exposure, you can be like, dude, we'll throw up $100K team that will throw up $100K.
Yeah.
And then we'll, like, fucking open the stadium and you guys can play there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
six
so
six
down,
wins
dude.
And up gets, like, legitimate Free. Bowls. And then 4 and 5 win teams can schedule other 4 and 5 win teams just as an extra game.
Yes, dude.
That would be awesome.
I'm so down.
I need that.
I'm so down.
I need that.
Do you have anything more college football to say?
No.
Okay, so I saw this today, and this one just fucking cracked me up. So this is from On Three. This is Jesse Simonton.
Okay.
What do you know about him?
Not much. I don't really like On Three, though.
Okay. The only reason I follow them is because they're pretty quick with the, hey, this person hit the transfer portal type of thing. So he gave out year one report cards.
Okay.
There's really only one that I'm like, Okay. So I'll go through him. Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, he gave a C+. Sure. Hugh Freeze, C. Scott Satterfield at Cincinnati gave a D, which I kind of feel like that's... He underperformed, comparatively speaking, to Luke Fickell.
Yeah. That's big shoes to fill, though.
Jeff Brohm. I lied. Two that I disagree with. He gave a B+.
Where was he?
Louisville. Dude, they went like 11-2. The fuck are you going to give Louisville a B+?
I was going to say, I thought that they were pretty good.
They were really fucking good.
They finished the season ranked.
Yeah. That's an A in my book.
Yeah.
Zach Arnett at Mississippi State to give a D-. Basically, fuck off. Yeah. You guys stunk. Matt Rhule at Nebraska, he gave a C+, which, like, I guess you get points for, like, getting Dylan Raiola, but, like, that was the highlight of your season.
Yeah, not even anything on the actual field.
Ryan Walters, he gave a C- to dude from at Purdue. I didn't think they were that good.
I mean, it's, yeah.
He gave Brent Key at Georgia Tech an A.
What? What did Georgia Tech do this year?
I have no idea.
They to get an A at Georgia Tech, they had to have gone 7-5.
I was gonna say 6-6. You get an A at Georgia Tech. They finished the season 7-6.
That deserves an A.
That's an A.
Agreed.
Fuck it.
Agreed. Seven wins at Georgia Tech is good.
Luke Fickell, you give a C-. Don't necessarily hate. Like,
Wisconsin fell apart in the bowl game too.
Yeah, but like Wisconsin, I just compared to Iowa, and they blew Iowa out of the fucking water. And even though I'm pretty sure Iowa beat them during the regular season, but
yeah,
who
dude,
cares?
The fact that Iowa was a 10-win team and then still it just didn't score any points in their last two games—it's
insane. Somebody posted the stat. Caitlin Clark hit a game winner.
Yeah.
And they said that if you take away all the other 38 points that she scored during that game and just gave the last two to her, she still would have scored more than Iowa football did.
Yep.
And then I got two more here. Troy Taylor at Stanford, he gave a C-.
Yeah.
I don't really
feel like that's kind of accurate. They're just a program.
And then this is the one that was like, this pissed me off. He gave Deion Sanders a B.
No.
Shut the fuck up, dude. No. You went 4-8, motherfucker.
After talking all of that game?
No shot you're giving this dude a B.
Go back previous episodes. I've said this multiple times that Colorado was not finishing any better than 500 this year. That was an all-hype, all-talk program. He gets like a D+, C- in my books.
The only thing that I could think about him giving a B is being like, you get a... But see, this doesn't make any sense because it... The only way I could see him getting a B is if you're like, he's already done well in the transfer portal. But that also doesn't make any sense because it's a report card, so it's everything you did the previous year.
Right.
Like, you're telling me next year he goes 7-6. That's an A+ at Colorado? So
it has to be.
Has to be. Because anything better than 4-8 is better than a B.
Right.
I could go fucking better than 4-8. Probably not, but whatever. Fuck it. I just thought that was when I saw that I was like, dude.
It's the media hyping up Deion.
I was like,
course.
Tell me this guy likes Deion without telling me he likes Deion.
The golden child.
Like genuinely, from an outsider's perspective, you go down and you're like, all right, started off the season fucking 3-1. How'd they finish it? 1-7.
B.
That's a B. I'll give it a B. And then it's like, Wisconsin kind of folded in a bowl game. They went 7-7, though. And, you know, Big Ten's tough. They played LSU in the bowl game. C-. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
No.
It's like, dude, that doesn't make any sense.
You got anything else sports-wise?
The Bears have the number one pick.
Let's go.
What? Let's get into this. What are we doing?
Oh, dude. Oh my gosh, hold on, I gotta find this. I figured out what the Bears are doing.
All right, bold claim. Bold strategy, Colin. All right, see if hold it pays
on
off for.
Hold on, let me get this pulled up. Okay, boom, right here. Number one, no. Somehow, we traded the number one pick.
Okay.
To the number two pick.
So we're trading with Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What other picks? Were we supposed to have the 9 pick?
We have, like, right now, depending on how this upcoming weekend goes, we have anywhere between, like, 8 and 10, I believe.
Okay. So in this mock draft from profootballnetwork.com, the Bears traded down to the number 2 pick and take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
Take Brock Bowers with the 9.
Whoa. Okay. Timeout. What was the trade?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It doesn't say.
So then this doesn't make any sense. And who did the Cardinals take?
I've no idea. Not Marvin Harrison Jr.
This is already the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. with the 2 pick, Brock Bowers with the 9 pick, which I don't...
Doesn't make any sense.
Cole Kmet.
It's fine.
And then they also, in some sort of other trade, we also have the 16 and the 34 pick. And they take Latu,
the DN from
UCLA, and Tavondre Sweat from Texas.
This fucking draft right here is when you go on Madden and you do a franchise and you're like, all trades must be accepted, and then you just offer some shit thing to the next team and they're like, yep, fucking, I get all the picks, me.
It was just
doesn't make that. I love the optimism, but that doesn't make any fucking sense.
So in reality, what should the Bears do with that pick? Either take Marvin Harrison Jr. or trade to a team that you know is not going to draft a wide receiver.
Okay, so then here's the issue. The Cardinals are probably going to draft a wide receiver, and they have the 2 pick.
So let's. Who has the 3?
The Commanders may have like the 4, and then like the Patriots are like the 5 or something.
Okay,
like that.
Here's what we do. We're gonna put all this to rest. You keep the number 1 pick and just take Marvin Harrison Jr. and then you get a trade package for the other really close first rounder.
Okay, so
I just there shouldn't be any like hesitation or chance taken that someone else takes the wide receiver that you want. Unless you get an absolute haul, okay, and then you go to your number 2 wide receiver.
So I want Marvin Harrison Jr. at the end of the day. Don't get me wrong. However, if I'm looking at this from an objective Bears, like I'm putting myself in Ryan Pohl's shoes, I think you can get a fucking king's ransom for Caleb Williams. I think you can get more for Caleb Williams at the number 1 pick than you did last year for the number 1 pick.
So how far down do you think they would trade?
4 to 5. So I think you trade back to the Commanders or the Patriots because those two are looking for quarterbacks.
Okay.
So you trade back to them and you get 2 first-round picks in the future and maybe like a second this year. And then to just spice things up, you either get an already proven wide receiver in that trade or an already proven O-lineman or D-lineman, right?
So you're getting 2 first-round draft picks, a second-round draft pick, and a player.
Yeah. Because that is what Carolina gave up for Bryce Young. So I think if you can get that back, right? So you get whoever and then a wide receiver or an O lineman, you have then now set yourself up for the future because, again, I don't really think Caleb Williams is turning either of those franchises around. So, like, I still think you're going to get a high pick in the next couple of years.
Problem is, what wide receiver would you want from the Commanders or the Patriots?
I'm not saying a wide receiver. I'm saying like a wide receiver, O lineman, D lineman, one of the 3.
Okay.
And then, so I'm trading back to 4 to 5. And then say the Cardinals do take Marvin Harrison Jr. As crazy as it sounds, I feel like Malik Nabers gets disrespected in this whole argument. Malik Nabers is fucking just as insane as Marvin Harrison Jr. So if you can get all of those things back and get a guy who's just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is the name. You get Marvin Harrison on your team,
right?
Which is fucking awesome. And he's got the chemistry with DJ Moore. He's got the chemistry with Justin Fields, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm all in on that. So I'd be fine with the Bears taking him one. I'd also be fine if they trade back to 4 to 5. I don't, the lowest I would trade back if I was the Bears is 6. I'm pushing it at 7.
Yeah.
I don't want to trade back any lower. If you trade back any lower than your pick that you're going to have this year, you better be getting somebody that's like,
huge.
I'm bricked up if I hear that guy's coming to the Bears.
Right.
Like, you better be getting. And then the reason that I say O lineman over D lineman is Chase Young's a free agent. Dexter Gervin's coming into his own. Montrez Sweat's fucking. Or not Montrez Sweat. Yeah, Montrez Sweat.
Montez. I think.
Who's the guy at Texas?
Oh, the one that we were just talking about drafting? Yeah. I have no idea. I just saw his name
on it. Sweat, yeah. Right? But Montrez Sweat.
On the Bears.
On the Bears is fucking awesome.
Yes.
So, like, that's an insane D-line. I re-signed Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
Everything else just kind of falls into place there. Your defense is not the issue. It's your offense.
And you neither is Justin Fields.
Amen. And that is what I come to the conclusion of. If you trade Justin Fields, fuck you.
Is that move enough for you to not be a Bears fan?
They trade Justin Fields, and I post the happy feet.
Yeah.
Don't push me because I am close to the edge. And then they draft Caleb Williams, and I'm the Kermit the Frog jumping off the building. That's what's going to happen. Like,
fair.
At this point, the media storm that you are going to go through if you draft Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields, in my opinion, is not even worth how good you think Caleb Williams is going to be.
That situation right there hasn't even happened in real life and is already getting my blood pressure up. I can't imagine, like, just don't put us through that.
And it's also, I've said it before, too. It's like, if you trade Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams one, you are slapping a Band-Aid on, like, the leak of a dam.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't gonna fucking help. That's not the issue. Get some fucking concrete, some blue-collar guys to fucking patch that shit up, a.k.a. an O-lineman. And fucking let Justin Fields do his shit. And I've also come to this conclusion, too, that Chicago fans, unless we are winning Super Bowls and contending left, right, and center, will never be happy with whoever plays quarterback. It doesn't matter. Because I hear all the things that people are saying about Justin Fields, like, oh, he holds onto the ball too long. He misses wide-open wide receivers. You guys are saying that, like, every other quarterback in the league doesn't do that.
Right.
It happens. It happens multiple times a game. But for the most part, he's making plays where you're like, holy shit, dude. Nobody makes that play.
Plus, think about the previous Bears quarterbacks in our lifetime.
Fucking Rex Grossman, Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, Nathan Peterman. Yeah, they ain't good.
I would take Justin Fields over any of the other previous quarterbacks that I've seen on the Bears in my life.
Besides Rex Grossman, led us to a Super Bowl. How you doing? Facts are facts, you know?
Anything else sports-wise you got?
Not that I can think of, no.
I have one quick statement and one dumb thought. First quick statement, the Barbie movie was actually pretty good.
Haven't seen it.
That's all I got. I just came in with such low expectations that it basically, like, the bar set was about the width or the thickness of a piece of paper. That's all it had to cross.
Fair.
And it did that.
Iron Claw, fantastic movie. Don't go watch it at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
That, learned that one the hard way.
Fair
Got
enough.
Got me tearing up at noon on a Sunday, like, reevaluating my life. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
And then last one, I came to the realization this past week that bowling and pulled pork are in the same category for me. Now, most people listening to this might have the exact same look on their face as you do right now.
Being can I guess what it is?
Sure.
Is that it's like you don't have it very often, but when you do, you're like, that's pretty solid.
So I, when I get hungry for a meal, I'm never going to be like, let's have pulled pork.
Yeah, yeah, that's
when
okay.
When I'm bored and there's nothing to do, I can guarantee you, I will never be like, hey, let's go bowling. But then, like, you have a pulled pork sandwich or you go bowling, and it's like, all right, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I love a good bowling.
I think I could...
Love the lanes, baby.
I'm good for, like, one to a max of two bowls per year.
Oh, no, I disagree with that. It's, I treat bowling a lot like I treat golf. Like, I'm activity A, drinking, B, bowling.
Yeah.
I'm just there to have a good time.
Golfing is way more fun than bowling, though.
But I'm still there to drink. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck what I score in golf. I surely don't give a fuck what I score in bowling.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, I'm there to fucking have a good time.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Bowling and pulled pork. That's how we're wrapping that one up.
That's the title of this episode.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you the next time that we record. Hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. And in the meantime,
keep them cold.
Keep them cold, everyone.